Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. It is a blessing to see each of you once again. This Sabbath, we're going to do things a little bit differently with regards to the message. We're going to share with you what we hope to be an ongoing project for our local church. In our Sabbath school, we talk about how the Holy Spirit was given to the church. The greatest gift that God could leave to his church that he organized was not an infinite amount of money. Money was not the greatest gift. Power was not the greatest gift. Or I should say political power, prestige, fame. There's a thousand things that God could have left. But he gave them the greatest gift, and that was a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was to aid in, to comfort and to restore and to organize the church for mission. You can read straight from the book of Acts that it was the Holy Spirit that said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." It was the Holy Spirit that said to Philip, "Now it's your turn, go do evangelism in Samaria." Holy Spirit was in control. Men and women and children, they submitted their lives to the working of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to emphasize this morning. And not just this morning, but in every board meeting, in every evangelistic effort, we need the power and the touch of God in all that we do. If you want to have success, if you want to see results, if you want to have real change, we need the power of God's Spirit to work, not just in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches. So we want to present to you what we hope will be an ongoing project. Our sister Robert, she was gracious enough to order plenty of these, plenty of tracks. She showed me in the back, and boy, we have a lot. And for the glory of God, we got these labels here, because we don't want to distribute any literature that doesn't have some kind of address or phone number where we can actually do the follow-up. So we have a collaboration taking place here. We're going to have all those fine young people we see in the back over there. We're going to have all those fine young people. We're going to give them the job of putting all these labels on there. I don't want to have to put labels. But they're going to put the labels. I think they're going to have a good time about that. We may run out of labels so fast. But that's okay. I got about 350 labels. They're going to put them on these tracks. So we thank our sisters, and I know that you've been working with others to help get the tracks for us. So we have some who got us the tracks. We have some who are going to help put the labels on the tracks. And then now I want to make a little appeal to someone. I don't know if God touches your heart. But we're going to have we need a couple teams. And the reason why we need a couple teams is because if we don't have any teams, then Abe and I, we're going to be all afternoon in this sun, baking in this hot Oklahoma sun, trying to get all these tracks out all by ourselves. And I don't know if we don't want Brother Abe to have a stroke, and we don't want his blood pressure to go up either. So that's why we need teams. Ivan and I are one team, and Abe, I'm sure he'll find a volunteer, or he's got his volunteer with him. So we got two teams. We just need one more team. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to divide the shopping plazas. I'll go to the biggest one. I guess it's, what's the biggest one here? Is it Lowe's? Lowe's has the biggest people in town. They're all full. All the shopping plazas are full. Walmart. It doesn't matter. Walmart, Lowe's, or some of the other. We're basically just going to drive out there. And then listen, in 10 to 15 minutes, these will be gone. If we have at least three teams. So we got two teams. So we just need the Lord to impress upon somebody to get involved in this important endeavor. And the reason why we're doing the shopping plazas is because, you know, trying to reach one home at a time here in this neighborhood, you got to walk a mile to reach one house. And to get out 50 tracks, 50 houses, I don't want to think about 50 miles of walking. I don't want to conceive of thinking of that. But if you go to the shopping plazas, everyone's there. And I only have to walk 3 feet to put it on one vehicle. And then walk another 3 feet to put in another vehicle. They made it very convenient for us. How about that? So it's just, and we're not going to try to engage people because obviously, you know, people are concerned about the coronavirus, so we're not trying to engage them particularly. However, if they're in a vehicle, we will. Or if they're walking by, we will. But we just want to try to get the literature into their hands. Micah's going to show us a couple pictures here on the slide. I want you to see this. Okay, I've had the privilege of doing this with our sister churches. And here you can see a team of brave volunteers. Ivan doesn't have a choice. He has to volunteer. He doesn't have much of a choice. But here we have a team of volunteers. And we've been going out to put out literature and tracts on the different shopping plazas up in Midwest City. But, you know, 350 labels, it doesn't seem like a lot. But if we commit, if we can commit to this, you know, doing this once a month, how much is that a year? Who's good at math? Who's good at the math? We have our accountant here. How much is that more or less? If we do 350 addresses a month, more or less in 1 year, how many are we getting? Approximately. How many? About 4,200. And that's the lower end. I think we can do more than the. I think these will do a lot more than this. But if we commit ourselves to doing this, we can reach easily within a year. We can be reaching consistently about 5,000 people, and those are people who live in this community. And so here we have a group of committed people. Now watch this. These are the elders. You know, they could be, if you think about this, they could be out rioting if they wanted to. They could be out protesting and demonstrating and complaining. They're not. They're on the street trying to get the Three Angels message out to as many people as they can, because they know that the only solution to the problems that this world has is not some policy. This world's problem will only be resolved when the King of Kings comes and establishes an everlasting kingdom where righteousness and justice should dwell. That's the only way the world's problems are going to end. Think about this. These elders, they're not even from America. They were born in Africa. And yet they're committed. And they're not worried about the sun. I guess they have plenty of that in Africa too, I guess. I don't know. But they're not worried about the heat. They're not worried about what people will think or what men will say. They're determined and committed to get this message out to people. How about us who were born in this country and our nation? And our, this is our home too. How about us who are from here? You know, what, that should encourage, this encourages me to say, wow, if people can come from outside of this country, committed to take the gospel to this nation, how much more, you know, should I be willing? Now, let's look at this next picture. This is another team of brothers and sisters from another one of our sister churches. And let me tell you about this gentleman with the hat. Not only is he a veteran, not only is he a soldier, but he's also a soldier of Christ, because this brother, he's got cancer. He's sick. He has health issues. And yet that's not stopping him from sharing the love of God with other people. Praise God. You know, what's stopping me? What's stopping me? Or what excuse do I have? You know, I'm an able-bodied person. What's stopping me from doing what God has called us to do? You know, I believe that in the kingdom of heaven, if I'm lost, we will not have an excuse for being lost, because the Lord is going to have a cloud of witnesses of people who had it much worse than you'll ever have. You think we have it rough? Yes, we do. Yes, we have hardships. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we have situations in our life that are difficult. But you know, God has a cloud of witnesses of people who have it much worse than I ever will ever have. But this is another team. The elders, Elder John in the middle, and two faithful members there. Every month we go out. Listen, I'm the one who gets encouraged and inspired by these brothers and sisters. You know, the Lord is going to ask us collectively as a church in the day of judgment, what did you do in the place where you lived, in the area where your church resided? What did you do? What are we going to say? Well, Lord, you know, I have a good job. And the Lord's going to say, that's fine. But what did you do for me? Well, I have a bank account. Look at, Lord, I was able to triple my bank account. The Lord's going to say, what did you do for me? You know, that's one of the questions. There'll be many questions in the day of judgment, but that is one of them. What did we do with the time and with the tools? We have the tools. We have the young people who are going to help put all these labels on there for us. But here's what you can do. Pray. You know, we believe in prayer. There are some issues that will never be resolved without prayer and fasting. Those of you who cannot go, pray for this project. Pray that the angels could go ahead and work on the hearts of people. Pray that the Spirit will touch the hearts of those who get the literature. Pray that they will call so that we can do the follow-up. Pray that Satan can be restrained so that if they put the police on Brother Abe, he'll have enough sense to go to another parking lot. Pray that Satan can be restrained so that the work can be carried forward. So that is what we are planning on doing. And obviously after the service, we will be meeting here. The kids will be putting the labels on. And then we'll just draw a little makeshift map and we'll just divide it. Abe's company is going to go here. Ivan and I are going to come here. And then we need one more team. And there we go. Thank you, my brother. Matthew chapter 24. I want you to see where God's people, the mission that God has given to us, is described in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we know the chapter, we're familiar with it. All the signs of the times, all the signs of the end time, plagues, pestilence, earthquakes, strife. The Bible says in Matthew 24, if you read all the signs, and they shall, rumors of war, verse 6, nation shall rise up against nation, the beginning of sorrows. It also says that there'll be false Christs and deceptions and all kinds of natural disasters. It says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax, what? Cold. Can we not see what's happening in our world today? All the signs of the times are taking place. We see the division, the partisanship, the anger, the hatred. And it's everywhere, friends. It's everywhere. We see it. But listen to this. While that is taking place, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What happens during this time of great confusion and chaos? What happens to the gospel? Does the gospel stop now because we have a pandemic? Just because we have a, just because there's a lot of angry people on the street rioting? Does Jesus say the gospel is going to have a delay and then we're going to just wait and see what happens? Is that what the Bible says? No, friends. And even in the time of chaos, Jesus says, even when all the signs of the times are taking place, verse 14, the gospel will be preached to every nation, to every kingdom, and every tongue. And then Christ will come. Then the end will come. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have a work to do. That's why we have a gospel commission. We have more reason to give the gospel message because people want answers to what is happening in our world. God has the answer. It's when things start falling apart that the gospel really begins to have an effect like it never could be before. In the times of prosperity, when everybody is doing well, Nobody has time to think about eternal things. But in times of crisis, in times of war, civil war, just anarchy, men are more susceptible to hear what God has to say in this time. Let's read another example of the work that the church must do during this time. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice verse 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. There's a lot there, but let's just summarize it. Peter says that in the last days, and these last days, we're going to see in verse 9 and 10, this is talking about the period of Earth's history before Jesus comes. And what will happen in these last days? Men and women will be ignorant of three things. One, of creation. Two, that there is a God. Three, that God sent a flood. They'll be ignorant of those things. But now here's the question. Why did God send the flood? Why did he send the flood? What were the people doing in that time before the flood came? What were they doing? What was it? I heard something. Sinning. How about violence? Have you heard the word violence? How about anarchy? How about rioting? How about fighting? How about murder? Brothers and sisters, this generation is ignorant to the fact of why God sent the flood, because of the same conditions that we are seeing today. Because of the rioters and the revisionists. We have them today. We have rioters and we have revisionists. Now, if you look at what's happening in Seattle, it's happening in Portland, it's happening in Atlanta, it's happening in Denver, it's happening in New York, it's happening everywhere. And so we have the rioters today, but we also have the revisionists today. And the revisionists are trying to change every moral principle that God has given in his word. The revisionists want to destroy the family. They want to destroy marriage. They want to destroy faith. They want to destroy life. You know, if they could, they'd kill God too, if they had a chance to do it. They would do it. Well, they did it. They did it when Jesus came. They want to destroy everything that God's word says. And they're ignorant to the fact that God punished this earth once already for the things that we see happening today. And Peter says, make no mistake, God is coming. And God is going to deal with these unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Peter 3, notice what it says in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, this earth isn't going anywhere. It's preserved. By the same power of God that created the earth, this earth is preserved for day of judgment. There's an indictment. We have a court appearance. We're all going to be accountable to God. And listen, friends, I don't have a death wish. I want to live. But the reason why men are so angry, they're not ready to meet the God. They're not ready to meet their Creator. They're afraid because maybe they will have to meet God someday. Maybe they may have to give an account for the way that they live. So the world is paranoid, they're rioting, they're afraid because this world will one day have to stand before him. Notice verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Why hasn't Jesus come? Is it because he doesn't want to bring an end to sin? No, it's not that. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He knows how much time he will give people. Jesus is long-suffering, not willing for any to perish. But verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. The day of mercy is not going to last forever. What we see happening today, it's not going to last forever. Make no mistake. The day of the Lord will come. And what happens when he comes? The end to sin, in which the heavens and the earth shall pass away. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Verse 12. Here it is. Looking for, and what's the next word? Hastening. What does that word mean? What does it mean? We're not just to look for Jesus to come. We have been commanded to hasten that coming. How do we hasten the coming of Jesus? How do we do it? Somebody. By what? By preaching the gospel. By becoming light. By spreading truth. By fulfilling God's divine commission to His church. How is it possible, Brother Abe and Sister Beth, is it possible that we can help hasten Christ's coming and bring an end to sin and sorrow? And bring justice and peace and bring an end to all the anarchy and chaos? Yes! We have a duty, not just to look for Jesus to come, but to help bring an end to all this confusion by hastening Christ's coming. Oh, brothers, and if we are derelict and we refuse to engage in that responsibility, I hate to imagine that God's going to hold me responsible for all the terrorism and all the sin and all the murder, because we have within our ability to bring an end to this world. And for Christ's kingdom that will never pass away, to help usher in, as Daniel 2 says, a kingdom that will never pass to another people. A kingdom where truth and righteousness, we have that responsibility to help establish Christ's kingdom. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to work for you and to serve you. And to take your light, your gospel message to the world. But Lord, our duty is here in our backyard. There are truth seekers here, Father. You have sheep that may have wandered away, but they're here within our reach. Help us, Lord, to find them. Help us, Lord, to reach them. Lord, send your angels before. Send the Holy Spirit ahead so that those who will touch these tracts, impress upon their hearts, Lord, to read them. Lord, we've done all we can do. Now, Lord, it's up to your Holy Spirit to bring conviction to each person, to read it, and to call and to get in contact with us. Lord, bless these simple efforts. But Lord, may they bear fruit for your kingdom. And Lord, as we try to help others, Lord, how can we ourselves be found outside of your kingdom, Lord? Help us, Lord, that the work may be finished in each of our lives too. Save our young people, save our members, save those who are here, Lord, so that we too can be ready is our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the dark of the midnight.
Till the storm passes over.